Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
This is All of It from WNYC. I'm Allison Stewart. Almost exactly 5 years ago, on June 3rd, 2018, a TV show debuted about a media empire run by a ferocious aging lion, his power-thirsty children, and his universe of enablers and admirers. Four seasons and a million think pieces later, Succession has entered the pantheon of legendary prestige TV. The series finale was Sunday night, and we're going to talk all about it, so this is your spoiler alert. The show, its cast, and the locations were especially of interest to New Yorkers. Filmed all around the city, we got a peek into a world where we mere mortals, we know it exists, but rarely get to see the inside of the black cars, the private jets, the crazy big apartments, the clubs, the estates. And the show confirmed that just because you are rich doesn't mean you're smart or even happy. And at the end of the season finale, the patriarch is dead, the company is no longer in the family, and relationships have splintered and human psyches are shattered. Only a few people in the Succession orbit have reason to smile, and one of them is the character played by our next guest, J. Smith Cameron. The role of Jerry Kelman, the general counsel and interim CEO of the media company, Waystar Royco, was originally written for a man, but it's hard to even think that anyone but Jay in the role could even compete as the wise, competent, sexy, and formidable exec. Here she is from the final season when Roman, the randy, smart Alex son, attempts to play off that he fired Jerry.
I'm out. I'm done.
Bullshit. Dad fired people all the time. I was just feeling kind of fire-ish.
Look, I have some requirements you should know about, several of which have been officially communicated, and some that I thought I should, say in person.
Okay, Robo Jerry.
First of all, I want money, eye-watering sums, hundreds of millions of dollars.
No, pass.
So I have retained personal reputation management. They will be on the line when Carolina does her background briefings off a set of my bullet points.
I will set off your bullet points.
And if I ever get a whiff of anything undermining my narrative any time in the next 5 years, I will sue and I will go public with those many, many pictures of your genitalia that I have in my possession. Have I made myself clear?
Yes, absolutely. It's been a pleasure working with you, Jerry. Thanks.
I could have got you there. But nope. Nope.
You go, Jerry. Jay Smith Cameron, welcome back.
Thank you. Nice to be back.
Listeners, Succession fans, what did you think? Why do you think this series resonated so much, especially during the last five wild years? What's a Jerry moment that was memorable for you? What do you think is next for the Roy kids and maybe Jerry as well? 212-433-9692, 212-433-WNYC. You can call in and get on the air, or you can always text us at that number as well. 212-433-9692. Our social media is at All of It WNYC. So how long have you had to hold on to how the series would end?
Well, I think we knew that it was probably going to be Tom, but the show is always changing and morphing. So I take everything I hear ahead of time with a grain, or I should say in past tense, everything I heard ahead of time, I always took with a grain of salt, because it was just a very fluid, improvisational feeling show in every way. And I think that the way that was would also unfold, that it was Tom, was kind of up for grabs too. Like, I sort of didn't know till I saw the finale exactly what the narrative was, because we, for instance, Tom had a scene with Jerry that didn't make it in the final cut, because I think I understand the first assembly was like an hour too long or something. but we had a scene that was where he sort of offered me the job of general counsel, and I told him it cost him a lot, but we were kind of like, warily smiling at each other. And in fact, we did one take where Mark Mylod had us turn and walk down the corridor together the way Claude Rains and Humphrey Bogart walk off at the end of Casablanca. Like, this is the start of a beautiful friendship, you know, like, so that didn't obviously make it in. Then we did a shot where I'm looking at Tom right when Tom says to Greg, Jerry gets it. She's not afraid of the dark. And we kind of made eye contact. So all those things tell a slightly different story. Like, as it was, I think you just see me and I'm not aware they're talking about me. So that's also tells a story that's a little bit, I don't know. I'm dying to talk to Jesse or somebody or the editor and see how these little micro decisions were made. But I felt like that Jerry was wavering the last few episodes between being like really washing her hands of all the Roys, including Roman, especially Roman, and also feeling some remorse or some sympathy towards Roman. And so that I felt like sometimes there were scenes written where I was completely almost psychotically cold. And then some scenes where I felt for him. And then I feel like what happened is the narrative kind of pick and chose very carefully those little moments. Does that make any sense?
It does. I want to pick up on that line where Tom says, even though she's been fired twice, she's still around, which I think is amazing that she's one of the super survivors of the series. And Tom says, yeah, Jerry gets it. She's not afraid of the dark. What is it that Jerry gets? What has Jerry gotten over all of these years?
I think it's been the same thing all along. Like in the very first episode that I'm in, which would have been 102, not the pilot, but then when we meet Jerry, Roman calls her a stone cold killer bitch. And that I think that's her reputation, and that she manages to keep a very careful cap on her emotions. Like she's got this sort of like focus of a surgeon, and she doesn't get sentimental about things. And also, I mean, one definition of she's not afraid of the dark might just mean she's a grown-up, you know. Grown-ups aren't afraid of the dark. They comfort children who are afraid of the dark. So I think it's like she's not afraid of the dark. Like she's kind of a serious person, whereas the siblings are not. We've been told serious people. And she's also mature, and she's had a lot of experience with all the stuff. And also she's not afraid of the dark side. She's not afraid of playing dirty. What did you think it meant?
I thought it meant that she's, been there, done that. That she's a pro. We're keeping Jerry. She's a pro. These three, you know, even though Tom was a little bit weak-willed, Tom turned out to be a pro as well.
Yeah. He's good at what he's good at.
Yeah. Something I think is she seems to understand. She's known these kids forever. So she's known these three, especially the three that we concentrate on. Kendall's sort of this power-hungry but a little bit pathetic. And Shiv is the one who should know better but can't shake her desire to win. And then Roman's this man boy who I think maybe ultimately might be the smartest but is the least disciplined about everything.
Yes.
Does Jerry think they are unserious people in the way that Logan did?
Totally.
Yeah.
Totally, totally. I think all the old guard think that. There was a wonderful line that got cut at the end of the finale of season 3 that Peter Friedman had. When Roman appeals to Jerry and she says it's not in my best interest, he then used to turn to Frank, and I can't quote it because I can't remember exactly because it wasn't my line and I didn't memorize it, but it was something like, you know, you three are, except for the family you were born into, completely unexceptional, mediocre talents. And I'm happy to not have to worry about you anymore. Like it was some very, put them in their place. I mean, we'll have to ask Peter Friedman what it was he really said, but It was fantastic. And I just so, because it was, he's always, Frank is always the diplomat, you know, always, always playing the middle of the road with them. And that's his expertise, I think. But he doesn't think they're serious people.
Our phone lines are filling up. Nicole is calling in from Syracuse with a question. Hi, Nicole. Thanks for calling All of It. You're on with J. Smith Cameron.
Hi, Jay. Oh, my God. I can't believe I'm talking to you.
Hi, Nicole.
I just wanted to give a shout out from our Twitter group chat. Uh-huh. We all love you, love the show. We have a couple questions. One of them is, are you able to tell us the name of Jerry's daughters?
Oh, well, they never really got named. But one time I saw my, I've said this before in some interviews, but I don't know if you've come across this, Nicole, but the props department in our show was out of this world. And one time I was playing with my prop phone, Jerry's prop phone, and it had a completely four contacts. And so it had something like Catherine Kelman and Petty Kelman, like, Petty was short for something.
Catherine and who?
Petty, like Petulia Petty. Or something.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, or like, yeah, like Petty Fours, like that Petty. And I don't know what that was short for. Yeah. And I assume those were the daughters, but that I think that was Tony Roach, one of our writers. But I mean, my God, the detail. But I had them cast in my mind. I thought it should be Hallie Pfeiffer and Tavi Gevenstein playing the two daughters. And I had in my mind, you know, we never got to meet them.
When talking about props, I want to ask about costuming, because there's been a lot of conversation about stealth wealth. And if you know how much that watch it costs, you know, if you know, know, what was something that Jerry wore or something in your costuming that really helped you become Jerry, or you thought was really important to signify who Jerry was and where she was in her life?
Well, I mean, when I first started, neither me or the costume designer really quite understood. I don't think anyone knew where Jerry would go. Like, I was only hired to be in the first few episodes. And if you remember, after the attempted coup in season one, Frank gets fired. But I think at the point I was hired, they weren't sure which of the suits would get fired or all of them. Or they, I think they were, you know, so I was only hired to be in four episodes to begin with. And I had all these like really great, but like really, classic Brooks Brothers look kind of suits. And I just imagine Jerry had like a closet full of them. But then after Michelle and I kind of got wind of how influential Jerry was and how huge this mega corporation was. And when we got a look at Jerry's office, which was the corner office with huge windows where you could see all of New York City, we're like, oh, she's not shopping at Brooks Brothers. So we started like really using, you know, more designer, more high style clothes and less corporate peon clothes, more like, you know, more like not the person who comes in and sits at the desk all day, but the way the other people dress, you know, like I think, was there a particular outfit? I can't think of one. But they all just felt very luxe, you know?
I had an image of her having an Hermes scarf carousel.
That's great.
Go around.
I never got to wear any Hermes. I did a mock Nancy Pelosi Max Mara coat. Remember Nancy Pelosi's rust red coat that she wore? That, and then there was that meme of her with her sunglasses, her hands in her pockets in the red coat. We imitated that. That was my idea. And we didn't have a Max Mara coat, but we had a red coat. And then later I wore a dress and a collar necklace that was very like her impeachment outfit. So, cause I just wanted to subliminally reference Nancy Pelosi cause she's such a boss.
My guest is J. Smith Cameron. We are talking about all things Jerry and the end of Succession. Our phone lines are open 212-433-9692. You can also text to us there. We'll have more with Jay after a quick break. This is All of It. You're listening to All of It on WNYC. I'm Allison Stewart. My guest is J. Smith Cameron. We are talking about the finale of Succession and her role as Jerry. Got Lori on Instagram says, Jerry, my fave, my fantasy was Jerry, Shiv, and Carolina join forces and take the reins. We got a text that says, as a corporate lawyer and former GC, Jay's portrayal was so familiar, perfect, and really cringe-inducing. Do you hear from a lot of former lawyers or current lawyers?
I hear from people. Oh, I'm sorry. That was a BBC News alert in the background. I hear from people in the media world and in the corporate world that they're just very familiar with that person that I play, and that also I've heard from a lot of women who say like that they can relate to Jerry's inner struggle to stay focused and not to get trampled by the misogyny. And after that scene with Shiv in season 3, where Shiv tries to really freak me out about the HR and the pictures from Roman. And that sort of like horrible thing when woman turns against woman in the workplace. And so many people were like, gosh, that was refreshing to see it articulated in the way that I recognize, you know?
In the past few episodes, there is one moment where Jerry wavers, and it's when Roman, who wants to run the company and do it his way, decides to flex. When Jerry can't say with a straight face that his quest for power makes sense, that he's as good as his dad. And beyond firing her, he says the one thing that could really hurt her, that she's not competent. Let's listen to that scene and talk about it on the other side.
You don't treat me with sufficient respect, and that's a problem.
Uh-huh.
Well, maybe I'll fire you, too.
Sure, yeah. I'm not on the kill list.
So?
So Mattson will be very angry.
F*** Mattson, I don't care.
Be serious, you're minding shop. Roman. Oh, no, 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 no. Roman?
Yeah?
You cannot win against the money. The money is going to wash you away. Mm-hmm. Your dad knew. Mm-hmm. Tech is coming. We are over.
Okay.
Make your
accommodation. This is a simple business decision. You are not good at your job. Maybe Dad did, though. Maybe I'm firing you for a list of failures I choose not to outline right now, but including a failure to close off our liabilities vis-a-vis claims against Waystar Cruises in a timely manner. That'll play nicely. Let's do that.
I am good at my job.
Shall we get started on the paperwork? You want to do it yourself, or do you want me to get somebody a bit sharper? Bye.
What is it about that moment that penetrates her, that she's not good at her job?
Well, it's like, she's the best one at her job in the whole place, and he knows it well. So, I mean, it's just galling that's what he's using as his reason. He's firing me for because his ego's wounded, and I'm trying to boss him around. I'm talking down to him. It's true, but he's minding shop. He's trying to do a deal. She's right. The money's going to wash him away. It's they have to sell to this company to move forward. And he's not looking at it that way. He's trying to make his own power grab. And I think I feel like I know him so well, and I have him so firmly, like I know him so well and we know each other so well that I can just be frank with him. And he can't take it right then. And I think he has that horrible, inexorable pull to like, it's like he's gone on a killing spree. He's fired that other lady and now he's going to fire her. And I don't think it was intentional. Like, I think it was just like reactive.
Folks around here know you as a stage actor, all the work you've done in alternative theater and off Broadway and on Broadway. What is something that being a stage actor was useful? What skills as a stage actor was useful for you in
Succession? That's a very good question. Yeah. I mean, well, first of all, people in Succession talk much more than most people on TV or in films. Like, it's a real, like in the theater, there's lots of talking. Like, people have monologues and long scenes where you talk, because you can't change, you can't go outside and you can't do visual things the same way that you would in a film or in TV. And it's more about talking than anything else. And Succession, people really talk. Like, it was really a lot of language, like just the way the writer somehow made all the characters sound like themselves. And yet there was also this Succession-ese speak, like the crude language and the kind of jokes and the kind of rhythm to it was, it was a heightened kind of language. And yet they always made Cousin Greg sound like Cousin Greg and Roman sound like Roman. Distinctly, there was still an overall way that that world of people sounded. And so that's very theatrical. That's very much like being in a play. And also the collaboration, when you are in a play, or like the analogy I like to make is I grew up playing the violin. And to me, it's like when you play chamber music, you have to like listen to the other musicians so carefully, because sometimes the second violin takes the melody and sometimes they give it, and then they give it over to the cello, and you have to be listening. You have to loft the ball back and forth. And that is a skill that a lot of TV actors don't get the chance to sharpen. Whereas in the theater, you have to, because there's no editor making the parts of the story pop out. You kind of have to be disciplined, and you have to make sure that people know that they hear what they need to hear and see, notice what they need to notice. And that skill, I think everyone in that cast had, and as really all theater actors, pretty much.
Let's talk to Lauren calling in from Canada. Hi, Lauren. Thanks for calling in.
Hi, Lauren.
Hi, thanks for having me. Hi. So my question is, basically at the end of the last episode, we see Tom kind of saying he wants to have a chat with Jerry. Do you think Jerry would ever be persuaded to come back to the company now with Tom as CEO, or do you think she's going to take that long vacation and go on a safari and just never come back?
I think she'll take a long vacation and then come back. I definitely think that she wanted to stay working with them, and then this is even better because she doesn't have to fiddle with those lightweights anymore. She can just treat it like a job and not have to feel like there's a monarchy with some spoiled brats that she has to kowtow to. So I definitely think she would work there, and that she would be maybe more influential than ever actually there. And I think, you know, even though she's senior to the firm, she's not past it. She's very much has something to offer. And I feel like I think I've said that. I think that Jerry said that in an earlier episode, like, oh, I think I have one more campaign in me. And I think she does. I think she wants to go on working because that's who she is. She's a workaholic.
One of your fans tweeted that they were so happy you got this part and what you brought to it. And you responded, you tweeted back, "I'm glad I auditioned too." What did you think when the opportunity came up to audition for this role that was written for a man?
I just thought right away the dialogue seemed really fresh to me and funny. And I felt like it was a chance to be like, often when you see like a corporate boss lady, it's sort of generic, you know, like, and this, the dialogue just seemed very specific. I didn't know what we were referring to because they were isolated scenes. They weren't always even Jerry the man scenes. Some of them ended up as Frank's lines and some ended up as Carl lines, but they were, you know, I just thought it was funny, maybe because it hadn't been rewritten for a woman, because it still had a lot of course, you know, the sons were still joking around in their coarse, disgusting way. And Jerry, the way I played it, was, you know, trying to be unflappable, but also wincing at how gross they are. And I personally thought that was funny. And I was hoping they would think of it. Sorry about all
this. That's okay. Backstage. We have just a little bit of time left, and I want to know what you're doing next.
Well, I have a project I'm excited about that it's not been announced yet, that is sort of stalled like everything else because of the writer strike, which we don't know when that will be resolved, and likely my union may strike as well. So we don't know how long a wait we are talking about, but I also have right now a film streaming on Peacock called The Year Between, which is an indie movie that I'm very, very proud of by Alex Heller. And I have some other projects like that too. And I was in Waco, which ran alongside at the same time during Succession. But I have had these other projects also kind of simultaneously.
J. Smith Cameron, we thank you for your service. Thank you for Jerry. Thank you for Succession, and thanks for making time today.
Thank you, Allison. Awesome.